DB Podcast, practical know-how to help your farm business. Hello, and welcome to this cereals and oilseeds episode of the AHDB Podcast. I'm Tom Hebbert, and this time we're looking at the impact of the coronavirus on markets. The coronavirus crisis means things are moving quickly, having a big impact on cereals and oilseed markets. Here to discuss the latest trends is David Udall, head of AHDB's Arable Markets Intelligence Team. David is joined by analysts Anthony Spate and Alex Cook.
Hello everyone, welcome to another podcast from the AHDB Market Intelligence Team. My name's David Udall, I'm the head of the Arable Market Specialists, and I have two very specialist people with me today, Mr. Alex Cook and Mr. Anthony Spate, two of our analysts looking at global and domestic grain and oilseed market. They're going to be giving you their pearls of wisdom as we talk around what's happening on a global level with coronavirus, what the impact on UK markets is and UK prices, and looking a little bit on a global level as to how it's going to impact on some harvests coming up and what it could mean for supply chains, and a little bit on sort of fundamental news, that physical supply and demand of grains and oilseeds around the world and what's going to be coming up over the next couple of months, and with a little bit of a view on what we think it all means. There's going to be a lot of stuff to go through, so it's going to be short, sharp, snappy. We're going to try and get to as many conclusions as possible, so that means you've probably got to listen to it and listen to it again, not only to get our listening numbers up, but just to make sure you get the full impact of what we're talking about. So let's kick off straight away, go into it. Alex, I'm going to come to you first. Looking at the UK, what's been happening with prices and markets over the last week or so with all of the influx of coronavirus-related external news?
Hi there. So kind of over during mid-March, we really saw the UK wheat price kind of gain a lot. And that was during a time when coronavirus was a relatively new thing in Europe and the UK. It was really starting to kind of take a hold. And so we saw demand for wheat really increase during this period. Once lockdowns really started occurring, we saw kind of panic buying. We saw that here in the UK as well. That really kind of drove up demand for wheat, processed wheat products, you know, bread, flour, etc. And so the wheat price found support in the UK. Since then, we've seen it drop back a little, and that's majorly because we've seen the global wheat price has kind of fallen back a little, and also our currency sterling has rallied from the mid-March level where it was quite low because of the coronavirus. You know, at the start of March, sterling was around the 114, 115 mark against the euro. By the middle of March, it was touching kind of the 107 mark. That really enabled UK wheat prices to kind of track closer to the European equivalents, which was also seeing rises at the same time.
Cool. Okay. So I guess, you know, going forwards from a UK level, I mean, that sterling movement and the reaction of how people are viewing that global change in coronavirus and the curve, as people are calling it. Curve is the new popular word. Remember when pivot was the new word with Brexit? Curve is the new word now, isn't it, to describe everything? So it all depends on where we sit with that curve. So I guess, do you think sterling is still going to be kind of like the main thing that's going to drive or have a big impact on the domestic wheat price over the next month or so?
It's definitely going to have an effect. You've also got the classic weather news stories that like to drive the wheat prices as well. But I think the main thing is the coronavirus and its impact now. And what we have seen in the last couple of days, markets have kind of really reacted to the news that European infection rates and death rates, etc., are really starting to slow down. So we're kind of seeing some support there for markets, but whether or not that will continue, it remains to be seen, and it's definitely a watch point for the future.
And coming over to you, and looking a little bit closer to home on what the impact of some of the closures of pubs and restaurants been on sort of the brewing side and the malting barley side. What's the latest with that?
Yeah, so how everybody knows, we've had pubs, bars, restaurants locked down. This has had a huge effect on demand for brewing, as 45% of brewing is of beer that is consumed is actually through food services. So we've actually got an article coming out which will look at three different scenarios during this lockdown, because obviously around the coronavirus, we're in a state of unknown on how long you could say the whole globe is going to be locked down for. So the scenario is 3 weeks or 10 weeks or until the end of the season. And as we know, obviously from the supply and demand estimates that the AHDB releases, we've got quite a bearish outlook for barley for the rest of this season, and we have going into the next season. So we could actually see a further reduction in demand, which will increase our carryover stocks. But what's interesting to actually note is 90% of barley purchases are actually delivered to maltsters pre-April. So it'll be interesting to see how it will actually impact our next year opposed to this year going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen sort of spot malting barley prices drop in terms of premium, because obviously there isn't really as much requirement for it. And I guess there's a bit of a risk that there's a big lot of spring barley that's been planted at the moment and is going to continue for the next couple of weeks, because the weather forecast, even though it's still dry, there looks like there's a few showers coming, which could be all right. So yeah, I think that longer term risk for malting barley and barley domestically is definitely there for the next year or so. And so on a bigger global picture then, Alex, you know, you've done some work recently looking at sort of oilseed and potential harvests coming up and such. What's that bigger global market doing at the moment?
Anthony and I discussed the further impact of kind of coronavirus on oilseed markets. That can be found on our website. But a quick summary is what we've really seen across kind of Asian regions, where manual labor is the preferred option for harvest rather than kind of mechanical. We've really seen India especially, its rapeseed harvest is quite a big thing over there, and it's happening now as well in April. And we've really seen the manual labor aspect, because of the countries on lockdown, it's really disappeared. And so that crop is going to take much longer to harvest. Yields are going to be affected. So they're going to look for imports to help them as we approach Ramadan, where vegetable oils is really going to be an important aspect of that festival. Then there's the problem, where can they import from? And we've seen countries which usually export a lot of vegetable oils, we've really seen the lockdowns from coronavirus really affect them as well. So delays at ports, just stuff taking much longer to go, export inspections, really kind of taking a slow. So there's definitely support for oilseed markets there.
Oh, I'm sorry to sound distracted, but you know, we're in the new digital world of recording podcasts. I'm in my back bedroom and my wife has just bought me lunch on a tray. So just because I know you're really interested, I've got I'm hitting all of the AHDB levy sectors with this, I think, all bar probably beef and lambs, but that'll be tomorrow. I've got a sausage roll, so I've hit pork and pastry. I've got a bowl of crisps. And then not only have I got some a nice little blueberry cupcake kind of thing with the horticulture side, it's got some icing on top. So I've even hit the dairy sector as well. So I've almost got the perfect AHDB levy lunch, but I'm aiming towards that another time. Anyway, moving on to more important things. And from your point of view, what's going on sort of US way on a global point of view?
We've obviously seen, since January, we've seen crude oil pressured intensely. I mean, David, I remember it was the start of February analyzing crude oil prices and how this affects UK domestic rapeseed prices. And we were talking about this coronavirus as if it was something that will never affect us. But obviously from this, we've had political discourse amongst OPEC plus nations. I mean, Saudi Arabia and Russia not being able to actually agree on outputs, which has caused overproduction of crude oil, which obviously has been, we've had lackluster demand as the global economy has started to slow. So like I said, since the start of the year, we've seen rapeseed prices pressured. These have been coinciding with Brent crude oil. However, what's worth noting is weaker sterling has actually helped shelter some of the UK's domestic prices from the pressure. But recently, there's been support for rapeseed as oil markets have gained optimism and momentum as political leaders get together to fix outputs of energy. But a commodity that is also key to, apart from oilseeds, is key to talk about is maize. Worth noting that 37% of US maize is actually used to produce fuel and energy. So inherently, as people have been consuming less as the global economy has slowed down, maize that is still in the ground is carry on growing. So we have inherently got a surplus. Touching up on US wheat markets, they again a few weeks ago rallied up from panic buying as those lockdowns, those anxieties of lockdowns, so people started panic buying. Off this, we saw Chicago and London wheat futures respond with a sudden surge as people obviously went out and purchased bread and all that sort of stuff. Going forward, though, I mean, this week, We've got the US government meeting with the energy exporting countries on fixing it, like I've said, and we'll see how that will turn the oil markets, which would support oilseed markets going forward and hopefully maize markets too. But what's actually interesting to note around all of this is, despite what's happening right now, I think the biggest anxiety is the unknown medium and long term of the coronavirus. But we are currently seeing optimism in markets. We're seeing people come out of lockdown in Wuhan. So going forward, I mean, and our forecast, there is going to be increased oil production regardless. So like the fundamentals of a capitalism are still going to turn the cogs of this globe, which I think something to touch upon. And looking forward, I can see it going up, back up.
I like it. The cogs of capitalism turning the globe. On a side note, when you're talking about like capitalism and global markets and that kind of thing, I think it's really interesting at the moment that how global macroeconomics are literally, you know, it's happening before our eyes. You very rarely get these kind of instances where you get a live playing out of market fundamentals happening and markets trying to find a new equilibrium and having to shift at this speed to find that new equilibrium. So, you know, it's a really, you know, socio-economic interesting time to see how that plays out. And very rarely do you get those, if ever really, in a sort of post-wartime period, do you get those sudden changes that have that global impact that kind of really changes that economic profile. But anyway, that's going off topic. Let's get back on topic. Alex, UK crop conditions, hit me, what's going on?
Yeah, so last week as well, we also published crop conditions report, but as anticipated, year-on-year comparisons show crop conditions this year below last year. A lot more of the UK crop for cereals and for oilseeds as well is in that very poor-to-poor rating. 37% of winter oilseed rape is rated in this category, which makes for fairly grim reading considering we've still got quite a lot, the remainder of the season left, and we're also in that kind of the main period for cabbage stem flea beetle damage. So there's further reductions for this condition rating, it would be likely. The grain, 94% of the winter wheat had emerged by the end of March. That 6% is likely crop that's been drilled in February and March, that kind of winter wheat, Skyfall, that kind of stuff. And so 67% of the winter wheat crop is rated as fair to good, with 9% rated as excellent. Whilst that sounds all right, last year, excellent rating was 36%. So you can really kind of see the effect of that wet autumn. The report also kind of estimates 50% of the intended spring barley area has been drilled by the end of March, which is a pace that is actually above previous years. We've really seen kind of the warmer weather in March really benefit this planting rates. It enabled many farmers to get on, and pre-emergent sprays also got sprayed as well. An estimated 18% of the winter barley crop is rated at this very poor to poor condition. Compare that to last year's rating of 0%. So we're going to see overall average yield, they're likely to see reductions.
It's looking a bit of a tricky position for oilseed rape, but grain crops are not brilliant, but okay. We'll have to sort of wait and see where that plays out. Alex, Anthony, thank you so much for taking the time and talking to us today. It's been really useful. Everyone listening, continue to check out for the latest news on our website and on social media feeds. If you have any questions you'd like, email them in, send them on Twitter, things like that. We can always answer more questions, and we want to know what you think of what we're doing. In the meantime, enjoy the weather and enjoy spring planting, and we'll speak to you all again soon.
That was David, Anthony and Alex from our Arable Market Intelligence team discussing the impact of coronavirus on markets. For the latest information on cereals and oilseeds markets from AHDB, visit ahdb.org.uk/cereals-oilseeds-markets. For information on how AHDB can support you through the coronavirus outbreak, visit ahdb.org.uk/coronavirus. I'm Tom Hebert. Thanks for listening.